This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. The U.S. Supreme Court has upheld a key provision of the Americans with Disabilities Act. The provision requires state and local governments to make courthouses and judicial proceedings accessible to the disabled. It survived by a one-vote margin, as NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Although the Americans with Disabilities Act became law 14 years ago, it often is still ignored. In Tennessee, for example, roughly one-third of the courthouses are not accessible to the disabled. This despite the fact that the state itself has long had on its books a public building accessibility law. The state law, like many similar laws, however, has no enforcement mechanism. In contrast, the key enforcement mechanism in the federal disabilities law is a provision allowing private citizens to bring money damage suits. It's an enforcement mechanism that the Supreme Court has struck down when applied to the states in other contexts several times in recent years. But yesterday, with the flip of Justice Sandra Day O'Connor's vote, the Supreme Court ruled the other way in a case involving public access to courts. The case was brought by George Lane, a Tennessee baker confined to a wheelchair, who was forced to crawl up two flights of stairs to appear at an arraignment on misdemeanor traffic charges. He refused to repeat the ordeal at a second hearing and refused to be carried because he thought it was dangerous.
I was scared, you know. These people was laughing and, you know, making remarks, and, you know, I didn't feel safe.
Lane was jailed for a failure to appear. He sued the state for $100,000 for failure to comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA, and he won in the lower courts. Tennessee appealed, but yesterday the High Court upheld Lane's damage suit and others like it aimed at forcing states to make courtrooms and court proceedings accessible to the disabled. The Supreme Court, however, stopped short of upholding the ADA's mandate that states make all public buildings and services accessible. Writing for the court majority, Justice John Paul Stevens said there was no reason at this time to rule on all aspects of the ADA's public access requirements, from publicly owned hockey rinks to polling places. This case, he said, is about courts and the constitutional guarantee of access to courts. In that setting, Congress was justified in requiring state and local governments to take reasonable steps to accommodate the disabled, he said, and justified in using private damage suits as an enforcement mechanism. Writing for the four dissenters, Chief Justice William Rehnquist disputed the majority's assertion that Congress had compiled a record of pervasive discrimination against the disabled in public services. Citing the Lane case as an example, Rehnquist noted that at Lane's second court appearance, court personnel offered to carry him up the stairs, and that, said Rehnquist, was enough under the Constitution. Reaction to yesterday's decision was mixed in the disability rights community. Former Congressman Tony Coelho was the principal author of the ADA in the House of Representatives.
I'm just concerned that we have won a small victory, but it's not a victory that tells us others are going to come along. It tells us that we have a fight on our hands and that an aggressive fight on our hands.
Andrew Imperato, president of the American Association of People with Disabilities, lists some of the public services covered by the ADA, but still under a cloud of constitutional uncertainty after yesterday's ruling.
It could be education services, could be transportation, health care, long-term care, voting. There are lots of basic things that states administer that have a history of excluding people with disabilities or not letting us participate at an equal level to the rest of society. And unfortunately, we don't know after today's decision whether Congress continues to have the authority to enforce our civil rights in those areas.
And many disability rights advocates see the laws they fought so hard to enact as under siege. Ira Burnham is legal director of the Bazelon Center for Mental Health Law.
What's happened with the assertion of these radical states' rights arguments is that the entire body of disability law, as it applies to state government, has really been put in jeopardy.
Conversely, states' rights advocates have, in the last decade, won a new lease on life. Yesterday, however, the Supreme Court, by a one-vote margin, indicated that lease has limits. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.